Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Yes! Touchdown! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami! Good morning, everybody. How are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. It is Wednesday, November the 22nd, and there is a lot of news to talk about in the world of the Miami Dolphins, so let's get right into it. The first bit of news was something I was informed about last night because I was actually unaware because I don't watch shows like this, was that head coach Adam Gase, he has his own TV show in the South Florida market. It's called the Head Coach Adam Gase Show. Most NFL head coaches have these shows in their own city or town where one of the local TV stations pay them a lot of money. They get paid a lot of money. They're not doing it for free. And they will show up on either a Friday or a Thursday night, and they record a half-hour show when there's a host there that asks them about last week's game, asks them about the upcoming game. It's all fluff. They don't get pushed hard on any questions. They're asked softball questions. They give answers, and in return, they get paid a lot of money. A lot of money for this. So the past 2 weeks, Adam Gase has not shown up for his own show. He has blown off his own show, which he gets paid for. And to me, this leads into the bigger picture of Adam Gase this season. Last year, when Miami was on that long winning streak and they made that run to the playoffs, everything Adam Gase did, everything Adam Gase touched, turned to gold, and he could do no wrong. Hence the saying, "In Gase we trust," and all that. It was a great year. They're in the playoffs, and nobody had any reason to ever doubt or question Adam Gase. As I said on this show 2 weeks ago, after the loss to the Panthers, you can take the line, "In Gase we trust," take it out behind the barn, shoot it, bury it, because those days are over. And this year, Adam Gase has not been good. It has been a rough year for Adam Gase. Everything he touched has not turned to gold in 2017. In fact, it's been the exact opposite in many cases. And to me, Adam Gase not showing up for his own show, a show he gets paid for, okay? He gets paid for this. If it was a non-paying gig, I wouldn't have a problem. But for him to not show up for his own TV show and not fulfill his obligation to that, it just shows me once again another example of Adam Gase's immaturity, his youth, and it pretty much exposes his true colors. Because look, at the end of the day, Adam Gase is not the first head coach in the NFL to have a rough year. Not the first, won't be the last. There's many coaches who have had bad years, bad luck, bad breaks in the NFL, and it has resulted in a losing year, not making the playoffs. It happens, okay? Not every team can make the playoffs, not every team can win the Super Bowl, okay? This ain't a land of just rainbows and sunshine. Every year, some teams are going to be bad and have a bad year. It happens. But when you have a bad year, you can't run and hide, okay? You cannot go run and hide, and you cannot go cry and say, "I'm not going to do this anymore. I don't want to do it." No, you signed up for this show, and you take the money, okay? You took the money, okay? Show up for the show. You know, you're getting fed softball questions on that show. You're not getting pressed, okay? It's not a press conference. You're getting fed softball questions. Answer the damn questions. It's a half-hour show. The parts where you actually have to talk is probably you can down to about 10 minutes or so. It's not even like they're asking you to do a lot. And you have no-showed your own show 2 weeks in a row. And we'll see what happens this week if he shows up for that. But to me, it's just another example of a young head coach who doesn't get it, okay? Look, and again, I'm not saying Adam Gase should be fired. I'm not calling for him to not be the head coach next year in Miami. I am not saying that. Again, I am not saying that. But what I am saying is, sayings like "in Gase we trust," never again. Because you can criticize him, and there are valid criticisms of him this year. And this is just one more example. That's number one. And number two, if this was one of his players, let's say, who made a off-the-field commitment for something like this, and he refused to show up, you bet Adam Gase would be ripping his own player for it. You would say, you know what, you got to be a professional, you got to act like a professional, you got to, no. So no double standard here for Gase. And again, it's a paid gig. If you don't want to do the show, or you think, you know what, if we lose a couple games, I'm really not going to want to show up on that show, then you don't sign up for the show, you don't take the money, and you don't make the commitment. He made a commitment to the show, and now he has refused to show up 2 weeks in a row. We'll find out what happens this week. But to me, as I have said, there have been red flags this year with Adam Gase. Red flags galore. Some small red flags, some a little bit larger. This is a smaller one. This is not the end of the world here. But at the end of the day, you know what? This really does show Adam Gase's true colors. This really does. You cannot run and hide when you're having a rough year. You signed up for the show. You got paid. Show up. You know, he's showing his true colors here, I think, a little bit, in that he's very sensitive, and he might have a little bit of a thin skin. And it really is head-scratching. And I don't know. We'll see how this goes going forward. Maybe he will show up for the show this week. If not, then it's just not right. At the end of the day, it's not the right thing to do. Fulfill your obligations and show up for your own show. Second thing I want to talk about was something Tom and myself talked about on the post-game wrap-up show Sunday night after Miami's loss to Tampa, how the referees pretty much blew the call on the safety for the Miami Dolphins, and they cost them 2 points there. And the NFL, well, Hal Habib, the writer for the Palm Beach Post, he was told by an NFL league source that the league, they got the call wrong, and it should have been a safety. Something anyone who's watched football for more than 5 minutes and has two eyes could tell you. But, of course, the NFL referees missed it on the field. Then when Adam Gase threw the challenge flag, it went way back to New York, reviewed there. They got it wrong, too. And it wasn't a safety, and it was 2 points Miami could have had. Plus, you would have had Tampa Bay. They would have been punting the ball from the 20-yard line, and Miami could have probably had the ball again with great field position. But so Tal B was told by a league source that the crew of Tony Corrente was absolutely brutal on this past Sunday, and he needs to be reprimanded. Him and his crew, not just for this blown call. The blown call, look, every crew is going to miss a call. I get it. This just happens to be a really big one they missed. But to throw that many flags in one game, as I said, if you want to know why NFL ratings are down and why people don't go to games, it's because nobody wants to sit in a stadium for 4.5 hours to watch a bunch of referees throw a flag and just rattle off penalty after penalty after. I understand they have to call penalties. And you can, fine, call your penalty. But there does come a point when you're on penalty number 17 against one team. It's a bit much. It's a bit much. And some of those penalties were really ticky-tack or non-existent. And then when you get a pig play like this, and it's wrong, you miss it. It's just really, Tony Corrente and his crew was brutal on Sunday. And this is just confirmation. What's the league source told Hal Habib that Fitzpatrick ran into the back of his teammate who pushed Fitzpatrick back in the end zone. Since Fitzpatrick was not pushed or carried backward by an opponent, pretty much what Tom and me said on Sunday night show, since he was pushed into the end zone by his own player, as stated in Rule 3, Section 13, Article 1, his forward progress was not stopped. Meaning when Jordan Phillips then touched him, in the end zone and brought him down in the end zone, it should have been a safety, period. Your forward progress cannot be stopped by your own teammate. If you run into your own teammate, that doesn't stop your forward progress. The play continues. But these referees blew it. Then it went to replay, which is, that was blown as well. And it was just a mess, honestly. And this leaked source told Halabib the league got it wrong, and that was leaked out. I'm sure the NFL probably wrote a letter to the Miami Dolphins saying it was a wrong call, but we won't hear about that because the Miami Dolphins aren't going to want to get in the bad graces of the league by exposing that at this point. And plus, what does it even matter? The game's already over. They admit the call is wrong. You're not getting the playback. You're not getting the points back. Whatever, but just confirmation that what pretty much every fan who saw that play live, how is that not a safety? Well, it was, and the referees blew it. Another great article, friend of the podcast, David Hyde, who we have on the show time to time, for the Sun Sentinel wrote about Miami's penalty situation this year, as they have been called for a ton of penalties. And Hyde broke it down with numbers. First and foremost, the Miami Dolphins are number one in the NFL this year. And this is not something you want to be number one in. By number one, it means you're the worst in pre-snap penalties with 33. So before the ball snapped, either a false start, whatever, the Miami Dolphins are worst in the league with pre-snap penalties with 33. Now, to dive into that stat a little more, who are the worst defenders? Well, the worst defenders are number one by a mile, by a long shot, is Laremy Tunsil. He has 10 penalties overall this year, and 8 of them are pre-snap penalties. 7 false starts, 1 illegal formation. So Laremy Tunsil's leader of the pack in the pre-snap penalty. Second was rookie Devon Godchaux, who has 7 penalties total, 5 of which are pre-snap, 2 neutral zone infractions, 2 offsides, and 1 encroachment. So he's right behind Tunsil with those. Sue has 4 pre-snap penalties, 3 offsides, and 1 neutral zone infraction. Juwan James has 4 pre-snap penalties. And then you have the combination of Mike Pouncey, Kenny Stills, and Jermon Bushrod have 2 pre-snap penalties. And at the end of the day, Miami has 33 pre-snap penalties. And those are the ones that really hurt a drive. Because for the offensive ones, if you're, you know, 2nd and 3, you get that pre-snap penalty. Now you're in 2nd and long. And then you have like a drop or like an incompletion. Now you're in 3rd and long. It just changes the whole drive. And on the other side of the ball, you can set up a short field or a short drive for an offense. So if Miami's got someone, you know, 3rd and 8, then you commit like an offsides or something like that. Then you put them in 3rd and short. It changes the whole. The pre-snap penalty ones are the worst. Like, I mean, they really are the worst. And 33 is just an inexcusable number. That is way too high. So the fact that Miami is number one in that stat really is inexcusable. Overall, the Miami Dolphins have 98 penalties against them this year. 98. That's 2nd in the league. And 2nd means bad. 98 penalties. And out of those 98, 84 have been accepted. Again, that's way too high of a number. Now, last year, Miami was not great last year with penalties. But it's one of those things where when you're winning games, who the hell cares? And that was the thing last year. Last year, Miami was 2nd in the league with penalties, with 131 penalties. They were thrown 158 flags against them, but some were not accepted. So it just ended up with 131 penalties against them. And last year they were tied for 6th in pre-snap penalties with 46. So it looks like Miami with already at 33 pre-snap penalties with still, 6, 7 games to go? 6, I think. they're going to blow past that 46, you would think, and break last year's number. None of these numbers are good. And when it comes to penalties, look, I don't know. It's just one of those things where the players, it's really on the players. I know some people like to blame the coaches and say they got to give them more. They got to be tougher on the players. Have, you know, it's at the end of the day, these players are professionals again. Now, the two biggest offenders here in Laremy Tunsil and Devon Godchow, the one thing I will say in each of their defense, Tunsil, only a second-year player, and he was moved to left tackle. And Devon, he's just a rookie, a late-round pick rookie. So these are things you would hope as they move forward in their NFL life that they are fixed and things that are easily fixed. These aren't, you know, major red flags with them. But overall as a team, this is something that they have to get better at. They just have to get better at. They cannot have this many penalties as a team, as it's just too much and it hurts. It just hurts. It hurts drives on each side of the ball. It's just not good. What else do we have? Mike McCoy. And I'm only talking about this as because he has ties to Adam Gase, and this might be something to watch in the offseason. Mike McCoy, who was the offensive coordinator for the Denver Broncos, was fired this week. And Mike McCoy and Adam Gase do have a long history. They worked together with the Denver Broncos between 2009 and 2012. And they spent a lot of time together. When Mike McCoy was the offensive coordinator there, Adam Gase, I believe, was the quarterback's coach. And then they also spent time when Adam Gase was the wide receiver's coach. And Mike McCoy was a quarterback's coach there. So they spent a lot of time together in Denver. So with Mike McCoy now on the market, and let's be honest, he was fired this week, but it's not his fault. The Denver Broncos, and specifically John Elway's failure to have a legitimate quarterback on that team, is why that team has a lot of issues and why that team is not winning games. Mike McCoy was just the fall guy. You can't expect Mike McCoy to have a successful offense with guys like Brock Osweiler, Trevor Siemian, Paxton Lynch. Those are three bad quarterbacks who have done nothing, and Mike McCoy was the fall guy. I don't think any less of Mike McCoy as a coach, because this is not his fault in Denver. But he took the fall for it, and he's out of work. It would make no sense for Miami to add him this year, obviously. But in the offseason, Adam Gase is going to have to rebuild this Miami Dolphins offense top to bottom. And everything will be looked at from, obviously, the offensive line, wide receiver position, running back position, quarterback probably, although Tannehill seems to be the guy. And then he's also going to have to look at the offensive coaching staff. Now, two things. First and foremost, Clyde Christensen is Miami's offensive coordinator. It's really in title only because he doesn't actually call the plays. Could there be a shakeup there? Could Adam Gase say, you know what, we got to shake things up here a little bit on offense. I'm going to replace Clyde with someone like Mike McCoy? Possible. That wouldn't shock me. And once again, that wouldn't be fair to Clyde because this isn't his fault either this year in Miami. And again, he doesn't actually call the plays. So for him to take the fall would probably be unfair. But this is a brutal, brutal business in the NFL. And it might be one of those things where they're looking to make a change, to sort of shake things up, get a new voice in the room. So that wouldn't shock me if Adam Gase actually brought in Mike McCoy. And maybe he brings him in as a quarterback coach. He could bring him in as an offensive coordinator, like I said, to replace Clyde. Or he just brings him into the fold in some way to have him be part of the Miami Dolphins organization. Wouldn't shock me, as there are strong ties there between Mike McCoy and Adam Gase. The other thing, which is something we're going to talk about more in the offseason, but Adam Gase was asked, I think a week or two back when he was meeting with the media, would he consider giving up the play calling of the offense and just focus on being the quote-unquote head coach? Adam Gase pretty much laughed it off and said, no, I'm calling the plays, which I actually don't have a problem with, because if you're Adam Gase, your bread and butter and why you got this job is because you're an offensive coach who is known for his play calling. Now, we can question the play calling this year, as I have. It's been bad at times. It's been horrible at times. I get it. But if you're Adam Gase and you're not running the offense with the play calling, then I don't know what your value is, really. So I understand Adam Gase not relinquishing the play calling. I kind of agree with that. But it's in the offseason, a couple things could happen. You could have the Miami Dolphins organization and the powers that be up top, Mike Tannenbaum, Ross, that whole crew, say, you know what, Adam? This past year was bad, and we want to strip you of the play-calling duties. That could happen. I don't think it will happen. I don't think it will happen, but it has happened before in this league. Okay, and once again, I don't think it will happen. So before some of you start sending me mean tweets, I don't think it will happen, but it's possible. Let's just say it's possible. It's not unheard of. So there's that. Or also, Adam Gase could do a little, he could do a look back on the year and say, you know what, maybe I should give up the play calling, and who do I want calling those plays now? And he can either hand it over to Clyde or hire someone like Mike McCoy, let him call the plays. So that's also possible as well. I don't think it's going to happen, because I don't think Adam Gase is the guy, as we've seen many times, a little bit of a hard head, very stubborn, very stubborn, almost to a fault, and it would almost be admitting failure on his part or some sort of mistake. So I don't see him, but you never know. And if it was the right guy, and maybe Mike McCoy's the right guy, maybe their bond is so tight, which from everything I heard, they are close and it's a tight bond, maybe he would feel okay with letting someone like Mike McCoy call the plays. We'll see. Again, it's just something to keep an eye on. Mike McCoy, he's tight with Adam Gase. He's now out of work. Not going to add him now because it makes no sense in the year. And plus, I'm sure Mike McCoy is getting paid still by the Broncos. But in the offseason, would not be shocked to see Adam Gase try to bring someone like Mike McCoy into the fold and join the Miami Dolphins in some capacity as a coach, whether at offensive coordinator, quarterback coach, something. So just something to keep an eye on. So that's pretty much all I have for today. I will say this. The feedback I got from my last podcast the other night on Devontae Parker was very, very interesting. If you haven't listened to that show, I suggest you go to DolphinsTalk.com and listen to Monday Night Show, in which I had a little rant on Devontae Parker and how I don't think he's worth it. I think it's a lot of hype with him, and in his 3 years in Miami, he has fallen short of a lot of expectations, and things don't seem to be changing or improving, and that he would be someone I would be okay with the Miami Dolphins moving on from after this year and trying to get something back in return. And I would say the feedback was split pretty much 50-50. 50% of you thought I was right on, spot on, and everything I said was right, and you are also ready to move on from Devontae Parker. And the other 50% of the feedback said, you're nuts. As soon as he leaves, you know he's going to be a star for another team. And I will admit, you may be right. There might be another team in this league who can get inside his head and get more out of him. But what I know and what I see week in and week out, year in and year out, is that ain't happening in Miami. For whatever reason, Devontae Parker doesn't produce in Miami. And I'm not going to rehash the whole podcast. If you want to hear it, find it on the site. But it's just not working. So it was interesting feedback. It was the one podcast probably within the past year that I've gotten the most feedback on myself. Again, it was pretty much split. 50% of you thought I was 100% spot on with it, and the other 50% thought I was nuts, which not the first time I've heard that. But hey, that's what it's all about. That's why we talk football on this site. A, it's fun, and B, there is a lot to talk about, and there's no right or wrong sometimes. It's just everybody has an opinion, and as long as we're as long as we talk about it in a nice manner and don't, you know, swear each other out, curse each other out, and be uncivil to each other, that's fine. We all have an opinion, and it's fun to talk about this stuff, and that's why we do it. So, that's all I have for today. I would like to wish everyone listening to the show a very happy Thanksgiving. Hope you have a great day tomorrow, and for any of you who are heading out tonight to hit the bars, please be safe. Don't be dumb. Just don't be dumb. Get a Lyft. Get like an Uber. Just, and also, to quote Ray Maluga, pay your bill. Pay your bill. Don't, you know, it's not that much money. Pay your bill. Don't get arrested and spend the holiday behind bars. Not worth it. So, just want to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving. We'll have another show up later this week where we will preview this week's matchup against the Patriots. Trying to say that with a straight face. But we'll talk about the game, talk about some of the matchups. And, you know, it is what it is. But so I would like to thank you all once again for listening. And we'll talk to you again after a while.